Well, hello there, out into the ethers. This is being recorded. I do not know if it will be released, probably, but I need to say this out loud while the realization is within me. We live in a world where we have daily tsunamis of all of the things, and I don't even need to explain that to anybody if you are listening. I am recording this in my phone with little iPhone headphones, whatever the hell, so audio quality is not the best, but I'm multitasking. So, okay, not sure if anybody can relate, but probably, I'm just going to say it. So, I just had one of the biggest reality checks, and it feels like the last week has been a wormhole of apocalypse. And I also mean that in the literal sense, because the meaning of the word apocalypse is revelation, and real revelations, when a person or persons or perhaps planets is living under a delusion or delusions or lies. Revelations can feel like the end of the world, because it is the end of the world as we know it. That doesn't mean it's a bad thing, but they can often feel discombobulating at best and traumatic on more severe scales. And I am certainly not alone in this last week just in itself having a lot of traumatic experiences, and I'm not here to dive into that. But that's a, you know, surely a regional shared experience. But I just had a big reality check, and there have been a lot of these revelations that have been compounding and stuff coming to the surface, some of which has been suppressed for a very long time. And I was on a Zoom call with somebody that I have recently begun somewhat of a mentorship with. And this person is absolutely brilliant. Met this person a while back, lost touch, lockdowns in 2020, West Coast was diet North Korea, had to bounce, lost touch with a lot of people, and reconnected with this individual recently. And so we had one of our Zoom calls, and it went for a while. And I'm not even going to talk about logistic shit. I am going to talk about what the fuck happened. So if you saw what I had put out, basically, here's the deal. This last week, 1 week ago, Thursday, Hurricane Helene hit Florida. And then the next day hit Panhandle, Florida, North, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee. So look at the radar, look at the aerial views, depending on where you live and how your algorithm is tailored. Of course, you might be living in a bubble where you think this didn't even happen, because that is how insane the world is right now. But, this was wildly bigger than even Hurricane Katrina. And it also did not behave the way that people who study these things feel that hurricanes behave. The fact is, there's compounding layers of devastation. The same day that happened, and this was actually while the eye of that hurricane was passing right where I live in Florida. It didn't make landfall where I was, but, cause I'm further south than the panhandle, but I am on the Gulf Coast. So all of the Keys, all the coastal areas from south of me all the way up, got fucked up bad. Like people 100% that were living in those areas lost everything. And in some cases worse, but, and surely further north. So while the eye of that storm was passing through where I was, my phone goes off. And it's my former fiance's mother. And he passed away, actually, almost exactly three years ago. And her and I both have had a lot of death in our lives. And I was notified that she had just found the body of one of my closest friends from back home, somebody that I have had in my life since I was 18 years old. I've known her for a very long time. And she had taken her life. And as soon as I found that out, there was, I don't even know how many seconds it was where my body went into wailing grief, and then it immediately switched to the hurricane winds might not blow my windows out, but I'm sure in the fuck about to pick something up and do it myself. Like that level of rage. And it wasn't at my friend who took her life. The anger is not toward her. The anger was, I think the number is between 30 and 40 people. How many myself and my community have lost to suicide, murder, and overdose in the last, I want to say probably the last 14 years. But the last 4 years alone have been, like, I can't even count. I know it's been four people in the last year, and these aren't, like, just people I know. Like, these are close to home, whether it's a former fiance or my best friends, multiples, or comrades in recovery. You know, it's, these are people that it's close to home. And I snapped because of this dissonance, and I felt the same way about the hurricane too, still do. And they happened at the same fucking time. And I felt a rage that really has not left me. And I became swallowed by it. It was like my internal light turned off. And a lot happened. I won't get into much more, but I became so angry. And things started to begin making sense of why things so often don't feel right, or why I feel like somehow, you know, I'm here by accident, or, you know, there was some glitch in some timeline a couple years back when so-and-so passed, where I was supposed to go and didn't, or they weren't supposed to go, and somehow everything's messed up, and now I'm in some, like, it could be that disorienting to where you're like, am I just in some, like, fucked up parallel reality? Like, did we mess up this lifetime? And, like, now, like, what the hell? Like, why is everybody dead or dying? Like, why? These are young people. Like, this is not me being, like, 70 and, like, having people die because they got sick or from old age. Like, I'm in my 30s. And this has been going on since my early 20s. And it seems like it's one person after another. It at this rate, it's surely, at least for the last 3 years, it seems like it's one person every other month or every third month. And it feels insane. And to have all that inside of you, and I had never gotten help specifically for grief ever until today, actually. I went to a grief group at a church, and it was phenomenal, but I won't discuss that here. But all of a sudden, a lot started making sense, and I felt rage for the way that we live, for the way that we treat each other, for all the people that fall through the cracks, for how, you know, don't fucking freak out, all right? Because I'm going to tell you something here. But rage for the way that we fail each other, myself included. I've been on both sides. I've been failed colossally, and I'm not quite sure how I'm still alive. And I've also failed others. Surely I could not save my friend at all, you know? And there are good things too, don't get me wrong. And that has been discussed, if you're listening to this, extensively on Substack. And I can talk about that later, but it's also important to not, like, fuck around. Like, okay, we're talking about some apocalyptic revelation shit, so I guess I don't know why I care. So if I never share this recording with anybody, yeah, rage for how bad we fail each other, and rage for being in a world where you're just told to shut up and get back to work, and you're nothing but a cog in a machine. Just make money and shut the fuck up. And as long as you're the top earner around here, oh, we'll pretend like you're our best friend. And we'll go to great lengths to make you believe that illusion. And you'd be surprised at like how far that creeps in, like how close. But then as soon as you trip, as soon as something happens, if you get sick, if you are in pain, if you have a tragedy or a crisis, even if you have shown up for them time and time again in their dark hours, it's as if you never existed immediately. The second that you cannot be like on the dot drawn from and benefited from, you are dead to whoever. That was real loud. And I had realized for how long I feel like I've been living this dissonant life of years and years of unprocessed grief and a society that moves at 1,000 miles an hour, where we have no more official grieving process. We have no reverence process. A lot of the deaths earlier, when we went through them as a community, they were like healing and things that we learned and grew from, because we actually created the space to have proper ceremonies and grieving time, and we were with each other. But as that group has thinned out to almost nothing, and as I am now on the other side of the country from where I started, now and in the last, really since 2020, like every time there's a death, even like one of the hardest ones I ever went through, which was my former fiance, who I spent like, I mean, I grew up with him. Like I have more history with him than, more significant history with him than anybody. There's a different type of response. And that response is, we don't want to hear about it. Shut the fuck up and smile and keep pretending like nothing is wrong. And that has been, that's hard for some people to believe. But it is 9 times out of 10. I'm not going to say 100% because there is not always, but there's usually one or two people that'll pop up, you know, and act like humans and also treat you like you are human. And that's not lost on me, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to ignore the fact that something is very wrong right now with human beings. And that should be said. And that's not where this ends either. And it was rage for all of that. It was rage for bottling it in and shaming myself for all these years of, why doesn't my life look like everyone else's? Like, not stopping to consider that everybody that I started life with and went through all my 20s with, and even like 30, 31, like they're fucking gone. Like, how the fuck? We're not in an active war zone, but we are. It's just quiet. It's just fucking quiet. And everybody's just so fucking distracted or hypnotized that it's like you could fucking bleed out in front of people and they just step right over you. Like, they, like, what the fuck? And so, like, how long can you go on like that with death after death after death and get told, oh, just push through it. Oh, just don't think about it. Oh, just da 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 da. Because that's not how grief works at all. At all. And it's very disrespectful to your spirit and the spirit of the departed to treat it as such. And how long to go on like that? And how long had I been gaslighting myself into thinking I was some horrendous failure for not having a life that looked identical to what? Like people who have never had even a fraction of that happen and who have basically been in the same area their whole lives and like been with the same people their whole, and they're all still alive? Like, no shit, it's going to look different. And it's very, very painful to have felt that fully, fully open up with this last death. And I still have not begun to process like a lot of this. I mean, I know that she's gone, obviously, but the circumstances of which that's very, 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 very hard. But it feels like you are like a rootless ghost. It makes you feel like invisible. And in times when you need people the most, it's like you have this involuntary camouflage thrown on you because people are fucking so afraid of grief and death or really like any kind of emotion. It's, they love dopamine. They love dopamine. They love distractions. They love bread and circuses. But even like in the, with the hurricane shit, like, I felt even before I found out about her death, I was disappointed in a lot of the responses, toward that, like before it made landfall, before it even came around. Cause I had a bad fucking feeling about it. Like a couple days before, I remember standing and the wind was blowing and there was something in the wind that didn't feel right. And no, it wasn't like, oh, a fucking hurricane's coming in a couple days. It wasn't like that. It was something else in the wind. And it was a feeling that I had, and I've never had that from wind. But what it felt like was something eerie and sinister. What it felt like was, the message that I got was, whatever's coming, it's gonna be worse than anybody thinks. And whatever's coming is not going to be what people think. Because people, they downplay fucking everything. Oh, it's fine. You'll be fine. Everybody's gonna be fine. Well, no, actually, like, a lot of people are not fine. More people are not fine than fine. So, I didn't expect it to fucking be that bad. But something dark, like there was something dark that my body just picked up on and it felt sinister. And this was 3 days before, not even, this would have been, if it was 3 days before, then this would have been on a fucking Monday. It would have been on a Monday because it came through the Gulf on Thursday and then made landfall like, I want to say it was like 11 p.m. Thursday or maybe like midnight Friday. Yeah. So I don't know where I'm going. Reset. It's been fucking crazy. It's been crazy. I had so much rage and still do because so many people are dying and, nobody seems to care and you feel insane. You feel like the whatever reality and whatever current you're standing in is running in the opposite direction of the rest of the world around you. That's what it feels like. And nobody can see it. Nobody believes you. No one wants to hear it, surely. So I, you know, stop reaching out. But like, even if you do reach out, no one gives a fuck. Sorry, not no one. Most. Not no one. Most. So, rage, because I think it all just, I think all of it, all the compounded deaths just hit me, and I am fucking angry that all of them are gone, and I am angry that it feels like my entire life history feels like it's erased, and I've just been in this void scrambling to find new roots for the last couple years, and it's been very hard, and I've shamed myself a lot for it, and it's like, did I ever stop to think that maybe grief could have something to do with it? Like, actually, I didn't. I just kept fighting, kept going. Yeah, and then it all hit me. And then also the hurricane, which was insane. So I was very much paying attention to the storm because I was terrified. I've never been in a hurricane before. I've been through tornadoes and those are, No. So I hear hurricane and I'm like, okay, tornado plus ocean, like, fuck that. So I was scared. I just didn't have finding out that one of your closest friends took her life while it's passing by on the bingo card. But does anybody, it's the thing with deaths like this, like nobody gets a fucking warning. You just don't. It's very rare that you do in general. And so, the woman who found her did not know her next of kin, like the phone numbers or anything. And I did. And so I had to call and notify a family member. I'm just going to keep this very minimal, but, and, you know, hold space for that. But, I very much could. That's just a whole experience in itself. And you think about all the things, all the people that are left, all the ones that are not, the people that are affected. You know, I won't get too much deeper into that. And then I had to call the last couple people from home that are around and alive from our group and let them know. And it seems like every time we're on the phone now, and these are my closest friends, it's just to be like, hey, so-and-so's dead. And then we're like, oh, what? And then it's kind of like a shock. And then it's like, we don't even know how to respond anymore. Cause it's just so much that it's just like, what? Oh, okay. You'll have an experience like me where it is, I've been incredibly explosive and I had that fear come back of, is it my destiny to meet the same fate? To die by suicide. And that was a dark place to be. And I'm not in that place right now. So like, please don't freak out if anybody ever listens to this, but it felt like, am I destined to meet the same fate? And why am I still here? And the light inside went out. The light inside went out. I didn't feel attached to any reason to be on the earth anymore. Like nothing. And that reason has always been, well, not always, but since I got sober, which was at the age of 20, so I'm coming up on 15 years of sobriety. It's always been to help others, like to change the fucked up conditions here by any means necessary, at least to my maximum ability, and to take everything in me and to give it, to leave life like a deflated balloon. It is to give. It is. And one of the main things that I have used and been called to do, especially since getting sober, well, that is when it happened, is through music. And how interesting that I also sabotage myself the worst in that area. But that's what it's been. And I was getting ready to release a brand new project and the first one in a year. And it's also very topical to what we're all going through right now as a collective, even especially more so after this fucking hurricane. In every way, like the song is called Algorithm Ghetto. It's depending on what algorithm someone's in. Like, I have people who didn't even know this happened. They live in the same country as me. Like, I had a friend check in on me like a week later who had just found out. I'm like, how the fuck did you just find out that a Category 4 hurricane just fucked up 5 fucking states in this country, like, severely, and continues to be in that state? Like, how? How? And that wasn't an isolated situation either. And the propaganda and division and the way that it's exploited and, you know, the lack of humanity that we see, all of that's very fucking traumatizing, like in general. But when you're going through a fucking like devastating loss and so much grief and fear, and you know, if you've got friends that are in like the really hard hit areas and don't know if they're okay or where they're at or when they're getting out, that's already enough. And then you got people, you know, running out the side of their fucking neck talking about like, oh, I bet they all vote for so-and-so, so they deserve it. It's like, whoa, that's what I mean by something's way wrong. And I won't go any further down that rabbit hole because like no one, I don't even want to fucking speak it out loud. But when shit hits the fan, you will see all true colors. And when things are extreme, you will see the very best in people. And you will also see the very worst. And I kind of feel like it's true regardless of what you see. When it's fair weather, it's really easy to wear a mask. It's very easy to manipulate other people and pretend like you're someone you're not. And it's also probably pretty fucking easy to get manipulated and to buy into that bullshit because your guard isn't up the same way or your sensitivity is nowhere near where it is in these situations. And you're also like very plugged into the machine and the monotony of it and the hypnosis of it. And you miss a lot of things when this kind of shit comes through and is this when I say disruptive, that's an understatement. It is decimating. When this kind of shit comes through, whether it is like death, right? Like lots of death and destruction, all of that stops regarding the noise, at least for some of us. I don't know. And you start to see, and it's like, what the fuck? So essentially what I'm saying is it's been a rough week. And I had this song coming out, which actually came out today, but I didn't tell anybody, except for like people on Substack, because they've been like a, you know, it's an internet thing. You know, I've met one person in real life and I've talked to several over the phone multiple times, but it's still a platform, but it is a community. It's not projecting whatever the fuck at an audience. Like, it's a fucking community. And the people on there have, you know, from a distance, but still been there for me this last year, which has been like very intense. And we've all gotten to see each other like go through these transformations and, you know, come together and share all kinds of stuff and be able to have these conversations freely without censorship. It's like one of the last places on the internet where you can do that. And so I at least let them know and was like, you know, you can listen to it wherever, like it's out, because that's in case people don't know, when you release something, like you don't just like click a button and it shows up on fucking Spotify. Like you have to send it through a distribution platform that you're signed up with. And it takes a while. Like you have to do this like 4 to 6 weeks in advance, for one song. If it's a larger project, you'd want to give it a lot more than that. And the date is set. And so like, could I have taken it down? I mean, I wasn't thinking about it. And then by the time I did, it's like, nah, actually that would have been fucking too late. It would have been too late. Because you can't just delete it. Like you have to like go through the distributor again and fill out a form, and it takes a couple days for them to get back to you, and they have to review it, and then da 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 da. And if it's that close to the release, like it, you know, it's the date was already set. Like I didn't know that there was going to be a fucking huge, abnormal hurricane come through, and that somebody very close to me was going to die on the same fucking day, and then an entire region of my country, including a lot of people I love, were going to be in complete crisis. Had no fucking idea. So there wasn't shit I could do about that by the time I thought about that. So I'm like, fuck it. Like, I'm not going to say shit about it. I wasn't even thinking about it. Like, other than like, it's happening. But I told the people on Substack because they've known about this project for a while. And I've let some of them hear it months ago when it was finished. So it's like, at least give it to them, you know, like they've fucking been there through a lot. And, these are people from all over the world. You know what I mean? Like they're not in the Southeast, you know, some are, but like most that I linked with on there are all over. So, and then here I just, was oscillating between extreme amounts of grief and numbness, and then throwing myself into finding people to help. And there's no shortage at all. Even if I would not have had a very close friend who had just passed, if shit hits the fan, you go help. That's like, I can't imagine not doing that. So like, I would have done that anyway. That's what you're supposed to do. And it would feel like death to not go do that. Like, why the fuck would you not do that? So that would have been a thing anyway. But with her passing, on top of that, it felt like tenfold. And perhaps I channeled grief that way. But I fell into such a dark place, like 1 to 2 days later, that I just was like, I have to get the fuck out of my own head. And like, I need to find someone else to help. And like I said, there's no shortage. And then it became quite a bit. So here locally, there's a lot going on. It's people helping people, by the way, not the fucking government. Government's not coming to help you, okay? Tell you that much right now. So it's people helping people that are in the locale. And in some areas, people are traveling from other states, depending on the area. So locally, I connected with some people that are collecting large amounts of donations, taking them from the drop location to the distribution location, and then from the distribution location, people with certain types of vehicles who can get to the people who need this shit are taking it to them. Because these areas that are have been decimated, or in some areas are still underwater, or there's still feet of the Gulf of Mexico inside the house, all that kind of shit. Unless you're a resident or going there directly to help a resident, you can't just go. Because they have the shit fucking blocked off. And these are small, like, island areas. Like, it's not easy. Like, if you had a shit ton of people there as it is right now, it's just a very small, like, condensed place. So for right now, the people that have the ability to get in there with their vehicles, they're doing that. What I'm doing is my fucking part, basically, which was find out what's the critical need. So supplies-wise, I found that shit out, and then I found out that they certainly could use some help with drivers, because there aren't that many of them that can do this. And you have to pick up from a drop point and fill your car, and by the grace of God, every day, there is far more donations than what I can fit into my Honda. So you got to make more than one trip if you're picking up from that location. And then it's about an hour drive one way to the distribution point in my locale. So that, I can help with that for sure. And I can help coordinate other things in my locale and send more people to do that and keep people updated on what the needs are. Like right now we need baby formula and bottles more than anything. Like I haven't seen that in any of the donations. People don't need stuff for their car because they don't have a car anymore. They don't necessarily need shit for their house. They don't have a house anymore. And so, like, the acute needs off-rip are potentially not what some might think. But overall, it's a wonderful thing if somebody gives. Like, it doesn't matter. But we still have to let people know, like, hey, we're good on this. Like, please, like, people, mothers are, like, begging for formula and bottles and diapers and baby wipes. Like, please, can we get that? And so that's locale. And then there's further up north. I don't have contacts in South Carolina or Georgia, but I definitely do in North Carolina and Tennessee. I was living in Tennessee before I moved to Florida, and I know people in both areas. I'm familiar with both areas. And now I know people that are on the ground, several groups that are providing disaster relief, search and rescue, SAW teams, medical, driving in, all kinds of supplies. I mean, it's amazing. It's beautiful. And so obviously I'm not physically there. I can't get in there, but what I can do is one, surely give the resources that I have. And two, make sure that that information is spread far and wide, so other people know that want to do the same can do that, because that's what enables these kinds of operations to go. It is not any kind of government agency. It's people, it's nonprofits. Like, they run off of donations. So I made sure to share the ones that I can personally vouch for because I know them and, or have seen them in action, yada, yada. And a nonprofit I will drop, by the way, if this does ever get released to the light of day, is Grindstone Ministries. I give them 5 stars to infinity. They are incredible. They are incredible, and they are there. And yeah, if you want to help someone help others, them. The United Cajun Navy comes incredibly highly recommended by people who have been impacted by hurricanes in the past. I have not. I don't have direct experience with them, but I know a lot of people who do. So I also would direct people there as well. But Grindstone Ministries, oh my God, yes. And then there were some people I knew that are just individuals with a small team that were going in. And so I was able to give what I could and pass on their information, and people actually gave to them as well. And that's fucking beautiful. So yeah, as far as North Carolina, Tennessee, Florida, I can do shit about that. And so I threw myself into that. But, I knew that I was doing also what I'm notorious for doing, which is there's nothing wrong with being of service and helping others. And it's not a bad thing to feel like you can't rest knowing that people are suffering so badly unless you like are at least doing something to help. Like, to look the other way is like, it's like unthinkable. Like, that's not a bad fucking trait. Like, the more common thing is kind of people have the opposite problem where it's like, hey, maybe you guys could like give a fuck about your neighbors that are like 10 miles west of you that lost everything instead of like doing whatever the fuck you're doing. But I digress. I digress. So yes, lots of things, but I can sometimes become such a person that runs into the fire that I neglect my basic needs, like food, like sleep, like sanity, like everything that, you know, I need to keep functioning. And that's counterproductive, actually, if you want to be of service, because if your basics aren't handled and if your health isn't right, like, how fucking long do you expect to be able to sustain being useful to other human beings if you're neglecting and abusing yourself in a lot of ways? Like, you're gonna burn out and destroy yourself and make yourself sick, and then you're really fucked. Then you really can't do shit. And I've done that a lot. And so I could see myself doing that, and I'm like, I'm on borrowed time. I've done this before. Like, I can't do it. Like, I can, but like, I have to have balance. Like, I have to have some kind, I can't just be like, fuck everything, including putting food and water into my body. Like, let's just go and do the shit all, like, just nonstop, because the need is nonstop right now. Like, you can't do that. And so I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying, like, there's got to be a fucking balance. So here comes the reality check. The song came out and didn't tell anybody, did not do any kind of posting about it on socials. Like, anything I've put on socials has strictly been to direct people to, if you want to help, here's how, here's the different locations. If you want to give, here's what I can vouch for, here's the links. If you want to get trained so you can like volunteer with them, or so you can get trained in search and rescue, ground, air, water, whatever, here's those resources. Cause I looked into that shit too. If you want to volunteer in your locale and don't know where, here's those links. And so circulate. And then if you're somebody who has internet access and needs something, go here. And so it's just resource gathering and spreading for people on either side of the fucking equation, or ones who are in the fucking middle of it. You know what I mean? Just that's something I can certainly do, as well as stuff on the ground in person in my area. So that's all I was using social media for. It just didn't feel right. And I was also very depressed, I think. Like, the fire went out and I'm like, who, even though the song I made is designed to help people, especially in times like this. So actually maybe it would have been useful if I would have said something about it. But in my head, I was like, I felt like that would be insane to talk about that. And in my head, I'm like, who could listen to music in a time like this? Like, I don't know. Maybe it might fucking help some people. Like, who am I to say that? Like, who am I to say that? I don't know. But I just was very depressed and like disconnected. And I didn't really have any motivations or really ties to my main motivations that I could feel. that I couldn't feel fucking anything. But I surely could channel all of that rage and a sadness that I don't even know how to explain into, like, throwing myself into action for, like, an immediate fucking crisis. That I could do, but I really couldn't do anything else. So I didn't. And then I get on this consultation call, and that conversation lasted for 3 hours. We also, he's not a stranger to me either, but it got into some, a lot was sort of revealed in that, including how I have been sabotaging myself for the fucking a decade plus. So I'd say that's a significant revelation, but I remember talking to him and I was like, he was like, wait, the song's out already? And I'm like, yeah, I didn't say anything. And, you know, like, this is how I feel. Like, this is all what's going on. Like, da, 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 da. And I'm like, have you ever had to deal with that, you know, in this context? Because I'm not quite sure how you navigate that, you know, I don't know. And he said something and he's like, and it like cut through like a fucking knife. And he said, well, this is your job. Like, your job is to be an artist. And, like, you're creating music with a message. It's not like you're not out there shaking your ass talking about nothing. Like, you're doing this with a message to help other people. Like, this is your job. And that, like, that's why I needed to record this. Because I need to, that never crossed my mind. The thing that I love and the thing that I feel called to almost in a way that I sometimes resent, because, like, I've tried to quit. I can't. Like, it's a pull that, like, I have to answer, or, like, I feel like I'm decaying and dying inside. It's the same thing with, like, watching mass suffering and crisis around you. Like, that's why people run into fires. It's because to not is, like, unthinkable to them. Possibly in the same way that the people who run from the fires might feel that running into one would be unthinkable. And maybe that's the same thing, but just reversed. Maybe we just have different responses, one or the other. Fire, runner, which one? Or which direction, rather, away or toward? So that's how it is with music, too. I can't explain it at all. And it scares me, and I don't understand it. But I know that it's important to say things, especially when it's things that nobody is saying, and it creates like a mass gaslighting effect for the people, because a lot of them are thinking it and feeling it and having to have these conversations in secret for fear of, you know, gross ramifications from the machine, and they don't have any representation, like, in a public space, surely not in the arts these days. And the arts are supposed to be accurate representations of the times the artist lives in. That's the job. You're supposed to tell the fucking truth and channel it through your means. That's what you're supposed to do. And that is not happening right now at all. If anything, it's very weaponized against the people. Very. And that's a big fucking problem. For several reasons, but, yeah, a lot of people after the hurricanes are natural disasters. Like, some of them are more than happy to just get back to work, get back to football, get back to the bar, get back to beer, you know, while, like, people right, you know, not too far away from where they live are fucking, you know, devastated and up shit creek. It's like that alone, the hypnosis of entertainment, right? Cause there's a difference between art and entertainment. They are not the same fucking thing. That can be lethal because the world burns and no one fucking notices. Nobody. Bread and circuses. And that's what we need to not have. So, in my opinion, at least, you know, like, whatever. So, when he said that, he said, this is your job. It hit me because he's like, it's not a fucking hobby. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, it's your fucking job. Like, and I thought about it and I was like floored because it's like, yeah, actually it is. And I never, like, no wonder why I sabotage myself, or when, you know, various crises come up, it's like I fucking put it on the back burner immediately. No wonder. I wasn't, like, consciously, I'm like, this is what I want to do, and this is what I'm going to do, and this is what I have to do. But it never hit me of, no, this is now. This already is your job. Like, what the fuck? And that hit me on a level, like, on multiple levels that maybe some people will understand and maybe some won't, but I can't explain it. And I was like, oh my God, like, what am I doing? What am I doing? 'Cause, yeah, it terrifies me. But I wasn't called to it for no fucking reason. And it wasn't my idea either. So it just kind of, happened in, one of those ways that, you know, that it's not like, it's not you, it's like a different thing calling you to do it. And that was a long time ago. And then I thought about, like, then we got into the logistical part and like how much I need to do and like the catch up I need to do and, how much I need to actually be doing in general, like daily. And that hit me and I was like, oh my God. And I can't tell you how much I want to be free and have wanted this for so long of working jobs I hate for somebody else. Like, it's fucking insane. Even when you make really, really good money, if it affects your physical health and your mental health and it's toxic as fuck, there's no amount of money that's worth that. There, like, what good is the money if you're fucking miserable? Like, yes, surely you need resources 100%. But, like, what the fuck, bro? Like, not at the expense of my soul. Yeah, shout out to the fucking corporate world, you psychopath. So, anyways. yeah, so if I want to get the fuck out of that and actually do what I want to do and, like, be fully able to, like, be useful to others in the way that I was designed to be useful to others. Not in the way someone else wants me to be. Not in the way that someone else thinks I should be. To be more practical in the lens of the fucking machine. To be more useful in the way that I was designed to be by God. Not by fucking somebody else's idea that was put in their head by someone else that was just as fucking brainwashed as them. And I took on the same shit too. We all have, you know? And that hit me. And it also hit me like, wow, like I spend the majority of my time working relentlessly and I'm building somebody else's dream, somebody else's vision, somebody else's company. And I'm not saying I'm not grateful for that because it helped me get back on my feet. Like, I'm not saying that, but like, to what detriment and to what extent am I willing to sacrifice for what, the dollar? 'Cause I'm not. And here I am building somebody else's dream and bringing in insane amounts of money to somebody else's idea and company that, like, I really don't align with at all. Like, I just, you know, I'm useful where I can be, but it's not what I want to it's not what I want to fucking do. And it's not, you're really not. Like, yeah, you can make a lot of money, but like, you can help people kind of, but like, not fucking really, not in a real way. No. And why? Like, I get it for a little bit, but like, I just saw how much I was neglecting this thing that I'm telling myself, oh yeah, I'm gonna do this. But never was it, no, this is already what we do. And that hit me fucking hard. And I just was like, what am I doing? What am I doing? What am I doing working this hard to build someone else's vision and dream that doesn't align with anything of me at all? What am I doing hiding who I am? What am I doing neglecting myself even on a physical level? Like, what the fuck am I doing giving all of my life force to where I barely have any left for myself? What am I doing? what the fuck am I doing? Doing everything else but the thing that God fucking designed me to fucking do. What am I doing? And it hit me. It's like, right now, motherfucker, right now, you better make a choice of, like, are you going to get serious about this in a real way? Because now, like, I've never had any guidance in this area at all. And now I'm sitting here working with somebody who is in the thick of this exactly, and then some, and has been for a very long time. And it's a blessing to have that at all, because I've never had a mentor of any kind. Unless you count like an AA sponsor or something, but like that's completely fucking different. And like they're not mentors for life either. They take you through the steps. Okay. So other than that, like, no, I have not had anything like that in my life ever. And now I'm looking at, okay, motherfucker, this is what it takes. Like, what are you going to do? You going to bitch out? Or you going to fucking do it? And, whoa, I was just like, what am I doing with my life and with myself? Like, what the fuck? And this needed to get recorded because, there's a lot going on right now. And, I talk a lot about signal versus noise, signal over noise, fuck the noise, stay with the signal. And I've been so far off the signal. The last week feels like just time stopped, but I've been hardly praying. I haven't meditated at all. I haven't done any Kundalini yoga. Nothing. Like, I'm barely talking to God at all. So, of course, I feel so far from the signal, but the signal still came through pretty strong today. And not just in that conversation with him, but that was really eye-opening. Because I'm like, yo, what am I fucking doing? What am I doing? Like, of course, I can help other people, but, like, it doesn't mean I have to fucking hack off my fucking part of my soul to do it. Like, just, like, what the fuck? Like, I don't know if anybody else understands this weird-ass psychology where, like, it's like, oh, if other people are suffering, like, everything else I'm doing has to completely stop. No. surely it doesn't mean the opposite either of don't pay any attention to it, but that's not a problem that I have. So like, I don't feel like I need to address that, but, yeah, it's fucking weird. And it's also like, if I'm really doing what my life's really about and what my soul is really about, that is helping people still. It still fucking is. We all have our different ways of doing it. And there isn't just one way, but like for me to have been doing this, it's not just this last week. I've been doing this to myself the whole time. I've literally been doing this the whole time, the whole time. I started writing poems when I was like 10. I didn't realize I was writing songs until someone pointed it out when I was 20 years old and in rehab, just got out of jail, was detoxing from heroin. Another fellow heroin addict, and there was another fellow poet, and we shared some poetry, and he was like, this reads like a song. It doesn't read like poetry. And he's like, I could hear a 4-count beat, like, just reading this. And when he said that, my blood ran fucking cold. Terror. When he said that, because something in me, and knew, like, I don't know where this came from, but something in me was like, oh, fuck, you're gonna have to sing those lyrics. And it was terrifying. Like, I still remember it. It was terrifying. So I made myself a deal. This was in late 2009, early 2010, when we were in treatment. I made myself a deal that if I could make it to 90 days without relapsing and dying, because there's this, like, junkie lore out there, right? Like, this is what I used to always hear when I was still doing dope. Is that they'd talk about that 90-day mark, and they called it the wall. And they'd be like, no one ever makes it past the wall. And I was like, oh! And so, like, 90 days seemed like, it seemed like climbing Mount Everest, like, at best, or at minimal, or whatever. It seemed like the Holy Grail. I mean, getting 30 days was, like, the Holy Grail, so 90 was like, whoa, man. So it didn't seem like it'd be something that'd be possible, you know what I mean? But I did make myself that deal, and I made a promise. I said, if you make it to 90 days without relapsing and dying, then you have to try to sing, and you have to try to take this shit that you've been writing your whole life, or I guess half my life, whatever, at that point, and put it to music. And I had never done that. I had never sang. I had never recorded anything. I had never done anything like that. And I did make it to 90 days without relapsing and dying. And so shortly after I began, and when I went to sing for my first time at a community college group voice class, something like a choir, and went up to do a solo in front of everybody, because that's what they just threw us into immediately. And rather than wait around to get nervous and run out, I just made myself go first. And it turned out I could sing, and I can't explain that. Because I was kind of surprised. And so I don't believe that just came. Like, who just like magically discovers that they can sing? I don't fucking know. But it turned out I could. I think at that point I was 21, because when I was going to community college. So I was like, oh shit, okay. And, it started, and it gave me a reason to live, and it gave me a reason to stay sober, because I wanted to relapse a lot, like, especially in the first 2 years. It's fucking hard, and those cravings, they don't go away just after the immediate, like, acute withdrawals are over. Like, you will deal with those for, like, I think I dealt with them, honestly, for my first probably 3.5, 4 years, they do lessen, but like, you know, like the cravings that might pop up around like the third year are nothing like they are in the first year. Like the first year is the hardest for sure. But that was my reason to live. And like when all else failed, even when I knew if I like got loaded and got kicked out and had all this shit happen to me, I'd go to prison because I was on probation at the time. And if it was one of those deals where like, if you fuck up like one more time, like you're going to prison. And so like, I knew even like prison was not a deterrent, like when it would get really bad. And the thing that would keep me from not doing that, which would have been suicide for sure, like, we all see, like, what the fuck happens with heroin and fentanyl addicts, right? Like, come on. It's Russian roulette every time. And so, the thing that would keep me from doing that was actually music. It was, I can't leave without doing that. It's just this thing. Like, I can't leave the earth without at least having tried, truly. Without at least giving, like, in through that. I don't know why it has to be that. It just is. Don't ask. But it is. And I also was afraid before, like, I would really play the tape through and consider, like, hey, it's also death. I would think, you know, if I wanted to go buy heroin, had that craving in the beginning, I'd be like, I'd look around at the music gear that I had acquired, which was very minimal. But it was enough to set up my own home recording studio and record myself. And I look around at that gear and I'm like, man, the first thing that is going to be gone and never acquired again is this music gear. Because I'm going to take it to the pawn shop to get money for dope. Like, fucking guarantee. Like, I know that about how I am when I'm, you know, using drugs, which has not been for a very long time. But that's completely how I was. Like, anything of value anywhere near me was getting sold for dope. Like, that's, what the fuck, what junkie does anything different? That's what you do. And so it would be that. And even in darker times too, when I'd want to end my life, often, more often than not, let's say 9 times out of 10, it would still be that. It would just be this voice in me that was like, you're not done. Like, you haven't done what you're supposed to do here yet. So it's like, what the fuck? To have fucking seen that it's something that's that important and that, like, I have to do to have seen how I have unbelievably sabotaged myself and been had this massive fucking blind spot, because there was always something that didn't sit right with me. I never felt like I was doing enough. Like, and I guess because I wasn't. And, like, I always just felt this, like, pain inside me of, like, when am I gonna get to, like, do the thing that I'm supposed to do? It's like, well, maybe when you fucking start, like, 100% doing it. And that means, like, the eradication of all the fucking filler bullshit that is not in accordance with that. Like, not, again, not to, like, a sociopathic degree, but, like, do we need to watch all of those videos on YouTube? Like, no, fucking we don't. Do you need to entertain these kind of relationships and stress about these kind of dumbass problems? No, you don't. Do you need to be involved in wasting your time with this type of person or this type of relationship, this type of dude? Fuck no, you don't. Nah. And so, you know, we only have so much life force. And it's important to, like, be, he has something else he said to me is he's, you know, he's using business analogies, obviously, but he's like, you are the CEO of your own life. Like, your business is you, like, you're your own CEO. And, I'm like, damn. Yeah, I better start acting like it. And this, that's true for every human being, right? That's sovereignty. We don't, it's a business analogy, but it also is literal in a lot of cases and in this case, but in general, that's the truth. But it's so easy to not even see the extent of your own conditioning for those of us who grew up in public school systems from the jump. And we, you know, I mean, all that is grooming to be a fucking someone else's fucking wage slave. That's all that is. That is all that is it is a fucking perpetual dress rehearsal to fucking be an adult, part of the word adulterated, meaning fucked up from its original form. I think they say the definition more eloquently, but that's mine. And sit in a fucking cubicle and slave away for somebody else while they, like, well, you know, it's like, what the fuck? What the fuck? That's not sovereignty. If someone wants to do that, that's fine. Like, someone might have, and we all have callings in different areas of life. Like, for some people, their calling is to have a whole fucking gang of kids. And if they don't, if their path isn't, like, also be off the grid and on a fully sustainable homestead, yada, yada. If they're not, then yeah, they gotta fucking take whatever job that they can to fucking pay for their kids to be able to live. And, like, if that's their dharma or their calling is to bring these lives into the world and bring them up, you know, I mean, I can't speak on that. You know what I mean? I do not have children at this point in my life. So, like, I can't speak on that, but, like, I'm not in that situation. So, so yeah, that's essentially what the whole thing is. And so to hear that of, nah, this soul calling of yours, it's not a hobby. It's not some shit to be taken lightly or pushed to the side. This is already your job. This is already your job. Already. Like, act like it right now. And, you are the CEO of your own life. Like, you do not need fucking permission to fucking step into that. And I feel like I got snapped out of, like, a fucking spell that I've been under for really maybe ever in a lot of ways. But, yeah, I've sabotaged myself when it comes to this from the jump because it scared me. Like, truly it did. Truly it did. And, I got caught up with the distractions of the world as well. And, there were many seasons of my life where I became very addicted to my own pain and could see nothing else. And, the good news is that it's surely not too late. So tonight I make the decision of, yes, I am the CEO and sovereign being of my own fucking life. I'm not interested in funding and funneling all of my life force to make somebody else rich and make their vision what it is. If it aligned with my vision and I was cool with it, cool. It doesn't align. I literally give no fucks. like at all. Like, it's cool to have the money because I can help other people with my resources. That's dope. That doesn't mean that I fucking let anybody take advantage of me. Fucking try that shit and you won't try anything again ever. But it makes it so I've got more freedom, which I've never had, like, in that realm ever before this, before recently. And I was talking to somebody about that, a holistic healthcare provider of sorts, not allopathic, but different. And I've been having a lot of health issues. And he pointed out, and he's the third one this year. He's like, I think you need to, like, not be doing what you're doing for work, man. And for those of you, if someone's fucking hearing this and they think that I'm, like, a stripper or something, I'm not. I work in sales. I'm not doing anything, like, weird. But to me, it's very weird, the corporate whatever the fuck. Like, it doesn't jive with me at all. Not even a little bit. Just because I'm good at something and can make money doing it does not mean it resonates or I like it or I align with any of the cultural practices of it, because I don't. And if you kind of make an island of yourself of like, yeah, I'm not like down with going down that river. You will have, perhaps some challenges, and a lot of moral dilemmas, conflicts. And, when you stand up for said morals, you better be ready to fucking, ooh, you're gonna come up against some dark shit. So that's fine. But like, why do I want to fight like in the psychopath sandbox? I don't care. At least not that sandbox. I'd rather go into the one that affects like all of us, including me, not one that I joined voluntarily. I don't know how I'm going to do it other than just fucking doing it. I have all of my instructions until the next meeting, and I am going to start doing this, and I needed to say this out loud. For some reason, oh shit, this just clicked. But for some reason, it felt like selfish and embarrassing and like I was some horrible person for going after what my heart and soul was called to do. Because, oh, these dreams and soul callings, oh, how foolish in this material realm, right? Shut the fuck up and get back to work. Same type of feedback that you get when your loved ones died. Shut the fuck up and get back to work. Fuck you. We do that to mothers too, like mothers who give birth, like have to fucking go back to work, like in some cases, 2 weeks later. I'm sure some of them don't even get 2 fucking weeks, but there's like maternity leave's not even a thing. Or if it is, it's insanely rare and like unpaid. It just means like, we like won't like fill your position for like a couple weeks. there's no reverence for the coming or the going of life. And so what the fuck are we doing for those of us who are still in the river of life? If there's no reverence for that, what does that say about the reverence for the life itself? And I can be furious about the things I see around me all I want, but what about the fucking tyranny within myself? It's there too. And I saw it. It reminds me of something one of my friends said. We were doing tactical training a couple years ago. And I said tactical training. So you couldn't hear me, but she had never been around guns. And both of us originally came from blue states and fled them for the same fucking reasons. And I had very little experience, but it wasn't my first rodeo, but very little experience. And she had none. And we were doing training with a bunch of other men who had lots. And it was still one of like the best things I've ever done. Like it was so incredible. Like it didn't matter what skill level you were at. You could be like a police officer or ex-military and still be just as challenged as like me or her who were like new to the game, you know? It was an incredible process. And I remember us talking about it. And she had told me something. She told me that she noticed inside of herself that she felt guilty for protecting her own life, like as if she didn't have the right to. Now, did that stop her? Hell no. And it surely doesn't look like she struggles with that anymore, I'll tell you that. But like she had to confront that programming within her that rose up when she went to take steps to learn how to do that. And that came from the conditioning of the environment that she had lived in. Because that is a fucking thing out there. I don't know why I didn't get the memo. Like, I don't know. I'm sure it somehow got in there as well, but she noticed it in herself, and I'm like, ain't that some shit? Like, the programming of the machine that we were in literally tells people that you are a horrible person if someone tries to kill you and you use deadly force to save the life of yourself and your family. No. You should feel so bad for that fucking lunatic. Or just try to shoot him in the leg. Shut up, bitch. Yeah, wow. Like, you're like some terrorist if, like, you have the ability to take care of your life and your family without being 100% reliant upon a system that doesn't exist. Just in theory. Barely. So that's pretty wild. And it's kind of the same shit. Like, the machine would need you to think that in order for it to fucking castrate you, right? And on that case, it's like in the physical sense. Like, you can't, like, it's telling you can't defend your own heartbeat or you're a horrible person, and that really gets into you. And then in this sense, which I know I'm not the only person that is, there's no fucking way. There's no way. In my sense, it's like that unconscious but very much a driver belief of you're a bad person or you're selfish or you're horrible if you go after what your soul and heart wants for you. Because how dare you step outside of the assembly line and be you? And that's a lot of the fear, actually, is somehow thinking that makes me bad. What the fuck? That's crazy. That's literally crazy. And if somebody told me they were struggling with that, I'd be like, yo, and I'd be like encouraging that motherfucker to go, you better go after what the fuck you're called to do. Fuck everyone else. Fuck them. Do that. You only have so much time in this incarnation, in this body. In this realm, you don't know when you will come back. You don't know when you'll have a body again. You have no fucking idea what the hell you're going to do when you are disembodied. Like, okay, we're not going to get into that conversation, but it's like, bro, like, you don't know. Like, do what you came here to do while you are on Earth. Then when you leave Earth, deal with that then. But at least do some shit while you're here. Like, what the fuck? But then, look at me, though. Like, what the fuck? I'm doing the same shit to myself. And I just didn't see how much I was doing it. Like, wow, that's how delusional I've been. That's the most dangerous shit ever. Like, I hate liars. But delusion is lying to yourself. And that's some of the most dangerous fucking lie of all, bro, because you believe it. All the way up until you don't. So that can feel apocalyptic as well of, oh my God, what am I doing? And oh my God, what have I been doing my whole life? And oh my God, like what? Like just boom, the fucking sheet is off the damn ghost. Like you see it, like what the fuck? Whoa. So lots of revelations, like this life as it was before a week ago was not what I thought it was. Several levels, not going to get into that conversation. And so painful reality, whether it comes to death of a close friend or a tragedy and disaster for fucking hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people. Shit ain't what it fucking seems even when you thought you knew what it was. It's not, you see the best, but you also will see the worst. And perhaps the best was a bit worse than you thought. And perhaps the worst was a bit closer to home than you thought. And perhaps some of that worst also lives in you. So that can be very apocalyptic. That's like threefold right there, motherfucker. And also the best might not come from who you thought it would, but the best might come from somebody that you just met that day. Or it might come from somebody who is suffering so much themselves that how could they possibly show up to support you, and yet there they are. Or it might come from somebody that you just met 2 months ago, and they show you a level of support and genuine care that you haven't felt in fucking years. And what a gift that is. And you might find yourself also cease giving a fuck about all the bullshit that doesn't matter that we often all stress ourselves with and say, fuck this shit, I gotta go help somebody else. And go do it. And it turns out, yeah, your help is actually really needed, like in multiple areas, and there is shit you can do in your locale, on your 2 feet, right the fuck now, and go do it. And like, I remember when I was doing it, I remember when I was making that first run of all those fucking donations from point A to point B, bottom of one county, top to another. Go, because it's fucking, you know, it's a lot of people that need stuff, and that's just in my area. I remember driving to go do that, and I had felt fucking dead inside, and I was having like a meltdown that day, and I felt so dark and so alone. And as soon as I got the text of, yo, they filled up, they need someone to come pick it up and take it up, I was like, oh Lord, I hadn't had any food. I'm like, I hope I could drive without being dizzy. I think I had like 2 hard-boiled eggs, like real quick. And then I fucking bolted out the door. And on the way down, I noticed something. And the thought in my mind, as it expressed itself, it said, I feel alive. Like I actually felt alive again, because I was actually going in reality to go and be useful to other fucking people who either have nothing or who are also themselves trying to help but are way too few to meet the actual demand and are really struggling to keep up, and they have families of their own. So like, to be taking pressure off of both sides, thank fucking God, because that is so much better than just like drowning in your own darkness and not wanting to be alive anymore. That is so much better. It was actually the opposite, because the thought I had was, I feel alive again just by going and doing that. So I guess I had to have this fucking pep talk into an iPhone. And I think I am gonna fucking, I'll probably be scared, but yeah, I'm gonna share it at least with Substack people. So hi, because speaking it into existence is one thing, but speaking it into somebody else's witness, into someone else's ear, the more that we tell things and the more that they are heard, they have lives of their own. This is why like certain prayers or hymns or mythics, they're not just words. They're not just stories. They're very, very alive. And the more that they are made alive with our breath, the stronger they become. And that can be said for the most beautiful things, and it can be said for the most horrible things. A lot of us are out here hexing ourselves every fucking day just with our thought life alone and have no idea we're doing it. 100% myself included. So fuck all that. That stops today also. Control, alt, delete, cancel, return to fucking whatever circle of hell that came from, because it ain't mine. So yeah. And if I don't know what this means, other than I'm just gonna do the things, all of the things that are in accordance with the way that my soul is called to live. So yes, I am going to put this music out there, and I don't give a fuck if it pisses off a bunch of extremist bootlickers, because I will absolutely allow this to breathe, because I didn't expect I'd ever be in this situation regarding what's going on with the weather ever. But it's addressing it. And I wrote the song 2 years ago. So, yeah, that'll be intense. But I'm going to do that. And I'm also going to continue to fucking do deliveries in my locale. And then once we can get into the beach area to actually set up a distribution tent, when the needs go from like emergency services and like acuity down to like, okay, we can actually get in there and like the immediate emergencies are dealt with, do that too. Do whatever I can, but also don't neglect myself. And as far as what's going on up north, all of the resources are on Substack in two separate articles, part one and part two. I'm sure I'll continue to add to it, but grindstoneministries.com. They are fucking doing unbelievable shit. East Tennessee, West and North Carolina. Also, United Cajun Navy. Also, anybody that you know personally who is doing supplies runs in any of the five affected areas. If you know that they're doing that shit, ask them what they need. Ask them what they need. There's insane amounts of resources and links. No matter where you live or want to help, you can. They are out there. And I got to get back to praying and talking to God and meditating and connecting. Because God was definitely there today in many ways, especially in that grief group at the church. And thank God for that. Thank God for that, because I assumed, oh, this probably won't help because insert false narrative here. Oh, they probably won't understand because insert bullshit assumption here. Unbased as fuck. And it turns out it very much helped, and they all very much understood. And it wildly helpful. And it was the first time I've ever been exposed to like any form of, I guess, like group healing or like group therapy, I guess you could call it. Like, I don't know. That was so God-centered. Like, you'd think that with 12-step programs, right? But, like, it is, but, like, it isn't. It is, but, like, not the same way as, like, this is, like, at a church. Like, a pastor is leading it. Like, this is different. And it's so fucking beautiful. I'm like, wow. Like, a lot of these things might be things taught in psychology. And it really struck me how, with God in the mix, these are incredibly healing. And I actually felt like the river of peace, like, in me. Like, it lifted so much from me. But when you hear, like, a psychologist, modern psychologist, say basically the same thing, but no God in there at all, and no, like, additional examples or, like, prayers or passages or whatever, with that taken out, it sounds like the dumbest shit ever. And it sounds, like, anti-human. And I'm like, wow. God's really, like, the missing piece in, like, the way that we approach mental health. That's my opinion. And when I say God, don't assume that you know what I mean. Because if somebody out there has heard this and has been harmed by idiots and corrupt people in dogmatic, very confused, perverse social man-made constructs known as religion, like the way that we know it, that's not God. That's fucking people hiding behind something that they, ooh. I mean, what? Are we surprised that, like, evil, like, is smart enough to find a hiding place behind something holy? That's, like, that's what evil would do. Like, that's, like, 100%. That doesn't mean the good thing is evil. If anything, evil wins if it gets you to fucking believe that. Because then you really have no defense. It doesn't have to hide anymore. Ooh. I don't know where that just came from. But I myself used to be an atheist. So, and I am very much not an atheist anymore at all. Not at all. Not even remotely close. Not even close. And so, yeah. That can be the cunningness of evil, is convincing you that the thing it hides behind is what it is, as opposed to it. And then once you reject the good thing that it hides behind, then you might see it posing as something else and then run toward that as if that's God. And we wonder why things are all fucked up. But anyways, not going down that rabbit hole. Way too easy to be wildly misunderstood with that. And also, I've said enough. Point blank. Wow. Just wow. I'll end with this, which is something that I heard TJ Morris, aka Bear Independent, say on his National Intel Brief. He's also the CEO of Grindstone Ministries. Something he said on the brief today, I'm going to paraphrase because I don't remember his exact wording, but he said, you do not need to wait around for permission to be, what did he say? I think he said a man of God, an actualized man of God, or an actualized man of Yeshua. I can't remember which one he said, okay? But you get what I'm saying. Like, you do not need to wait around for permission to get the fuck up off your ass and start doing the things. Like, you do not need to wait for permission to get and start doing shit. You don't. You don't. Like, just go. Just do it. Whatever it is, go do it. Whether it's your soul's calling, whether it's answering the cries of your friends and your neighbors when they're in crisis, whether it's answering, you know, answering your own intuition, the voice of your own body when it says you're fucking harming me. You don't need permission. You don't need permission to fucking live or act. I'm pretty sure people who have to ask permission for the most basic fucking things are slaves and prisoners. Or people in public schools. and I'll leave you with that. Bye.